Let's now listen to the prophet Isaiah, and through him the Lord speaks to us this morning. Isaiah chapter 57, we start reading at verse 13, we read till the end of verse chapter 58. So Isaiah 57, 13. Hear the word of the Lord. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land, and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the holy, high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I've seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create a fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and forsook not the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest not no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast ye find pleasure, and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast, and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thy own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shall thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, and the putting of the forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out of thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. The Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Beloved congregation, last week we considered what it means to have a soul-satisfying Sabbath, or Lord's Day. We learned how we went from the Sabbath day to the Lord's Day, and from Old Testament to New Testament. We learned together how the Word needs to be central, and in that Word, Christ needs to be exalted and worshipped and trusted as full of wisdom, full of grace, full of truth. And then we find this incredible blessing of spiritual rest, spiritual strength, so that we also can shine as a light in this dark world. And as you have noticed, perhaps, this chapter that we read together is a follow-up on that. It's a follow-up on that question of how can we have a soul-satisfying Sabbath. But it's more specific. How can we keep this the Sabbath or the Lord's Day and find this refreshment? How can we shine in such a way that people will notice? How can we have a Lord's Day in such a way that we find really joy and delight in God? And that joy and that delight really so flows over in such a way that the rest of the week we benefit from the Lord's Day. What does it mean practically? And that is the question that we are going to try to answer from this passage. And our desire and prayer is that it would be encouraging and that it would be instructive. And that if there's things in our lives that shouldn't be there on the Lord's Day, that the Lord just says gently, this needs to go. And that we, with humble hearts, say, yes, Lord, we will repent. So we receive practical directions this morning from our text and promises, precious promises, as we turn to Isaiah 58, verses 1, 13 and 14. There we read God's word as follows. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. We do that together with Lord's Day 38 again, question and answer 103. What does God require in the fourth commandment? Page 74, if you care to read along. What does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. So delightful or delight-filled Sabbath keeping. First of all, we are going to switch the text around. We are first going to be encouraged by the promise in order to then hear how will God bless us with that promise? What are the conditions for this delight? And before we go to our text this morning, there's something that we need to say. There are namely two pitfalls when we think about Sabbath keeping. There are two challenges, really. One challenge is this: rules, rules, rules. The ditch of legalism. Why is that a problem? When we focus only on rules, why is that a problem? Well, it's a problem because it's going to kill your joy. And it's going to kill our focus on who God is. So that's the first ditch. When we are focusing on I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to perform, I need to do certain works. And our eyes shift from God to ourselves, to performance. And why is this such a problem? Because it also makes us self-righteous. Look, I'm doing this, that, the other thing. Look at me, God must be happy with me because I do this. I'm doing well. That's the danger on one side. That we are so pleased with ourselves. And there are some of us that tend more toward this ditch than the other ditch. What is the other ditch? What is the other pitfall? Well, some people despise rules, commandments. And in our broad evangelical world of the church, that's what's happening. There is this what we call antinomianism. Anti means against, nomos means law. Nomianism, that nomos, that's the word law there. And those people, as we heard last week again, they say, well, we are free in Christ. And what happens? They don't set this day apart for the Lord. They say, well, please don't give me specifics. That's bondage. In the meantime, what happens is God comes with specifics or principles for the Lord's Day, and they say, well, we ignore all that stuff. Those are the two ditches. Two challenges in Sabbath keeping. So first of all, how do we answer that? How do we get a biblical perspective on those two ditches? The rules, rules, rules. Well, we need to notice that the Lord Jesus, when he was walking on the earth, the Pharisees were looking at him and they said, well, Lord Jesus, you are desecrating the Sabbath. You're not honoring the Sabbath. You're not observing my rules, my man-made rules. What was his answer to the Pharisees? He said, if you are going to focus on your rules, you know what the problem is? The danger is to forget that the Sabbath was made for man. Mark 2, verse 27, or in Matthew, same thing. When you're making it a day of rules, it dishonors me because you are to focus on the relationship with me, and in that day I'm giving that because you need to catch a breath. You need to rest. That's how I created you. I know what is best for you. And that's what we see, that even the Lord does that. In Exodus 31, verse 17, there it says, the Sabbath is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and he was refreshed. So God refreshed himself on that day. And so should we. A day for our benefit. A day for our good. On the other hand, we have this this antinomianism, like when we say, well, we are all free in Christ. I can fix my house, I can go for groceries, I can go on vacation. Don't be too legalistic. What do these kind of people need to learn? Well, the Lord Jesus himself said what? Christ is Lord of the Sabbath. What does it mean that he is Lord? That we obey him. That we obey him. Matthew 12, verse 6, he says that. So when he gives certain instructions to it, it's dishonoring to say, well, I know better. Are we bowing before him and saying, he is indeed Lord in my life? Or are we bowing to ourselves? I know it better. Last week we heard that this phrase, the Lord's Day, it's the Lord's Day, means it, this day belongs to the Lord. And he is still the Lord. So are we still listening to him? That's the question that we need to ask if we tend more to that focus. So, and our text here, this is an Old Testament text, and you say, well, that's Old Testament perhaps, but it's neither legalistic nor it's antinomian. If you think about it, the context, what did we read? We read about people who were fasting and were saying, why is the Lord not listening to us? They were going through these formal rituals. And God says, I'm not pleased with those formal rituals. I want your heart. I want your repentance. I want a life that is pure and that is holy. Stop sinning in all kinds of ways. Stop sinning against one another. I want also mercy. I want you to show mercy to the people around you. That's what they forgot. I want your heart. And as you give me your heart for that day, I promise you blessings, I promise you delight. And that's what's happened, what he says about the fasting, verse 8, then thy light shall break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. So God will be behind us. He will answer our prayers. He will say, here am I. And when you become merciful and your soul goes after the hungry and those who are afflicted, Your light will shine, the Lord says. And you will be a reformer. You will be filled with revival. You will be filled with refreshment. You will build that which was broken. And that's what the Lord says in the context of fasting. And something similar he does as we now turn to our text about the Sabbath keeping. He holds out an enormously beautiful promise to us. Verse 14 of chapter 58, that is. There he says, first of all, to us, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. So he says to us this morning, you will delight yourself in the Lord. So you need to make me the focus of this day. So that your ears, when you listen to my word, as we heard in the preached word, would see me, would delight in me, would be focused on me, that we adore his grace, that we drink in his mercy, that we celebrate his goodness, that we know he is our creator, he's our shepherd, he's our God, he's our redeemer through Jesus Christ. And the more we drink that in, the more we are going to delight in the Lord. Psalm 37 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and what? He shall give you the desires of your heart. So it's a heart focus here in the text. Turn away from sins. Turn away and turn to the Savior, Jesus Christ. so that we learn to glorify God and enjoy Him forever, as the Westminster Shorter Catechism tells us. So that we would see Jesus when we listen to God's word, and that we would be as pleased with Him as the Lord was when He baptized Him. What did He say about Him? "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." That we would say and echo, "I'm well pleased with Jesus Christ." Now let's focus on that word delight for a moment. What does it mean? It means to refresh yourself. We've heard it before. The Lord refreshed Himself on the Sabbath day. It means to take pleasure. And the focus is the Lord. It's take pleasure in me, the Lord. Or here's another word that really describes it vividly. It's pampering yourself or indulging yourself. Now, children, here's an illustration for you. These Christmas days, I think you have been tasting all kinds of food and maybe chocolates and things like that. And what do you do with chocolates? You enjoy them with pleasure. You taste them with attention. And the Lord says of the Lord's Day, this is a day to be filled with spiritual indulgence, that you taste and see that the Lord is good. And then more attention to your chocolates, more attention than to your chocolates. Taste and see that the Lord is good. This word really means exquisite delight. Being so filled with the goodness of God. And that's why He says, I give you one day in the week to be filled up with me. Just one day. Rest from what you normally do, from whatever you normally are busy with. All those lawful things. This day, and delight yourself in me. If you keep the Sabbath rightly, I will be your delight. I will be your delight. That's the first thing He says here in this text. And then He says something that puzzles us perhaps because we don't understand that so well. You will ride on the high places. It's another promise. I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. What does that mean? Doesn't say much to us, children. Israel was a place of high hills and valleys. And Babylon, to which they were going, Isaiah was prophesying in the time of that they were about to be exiled to Babylon, that was a flat country. And it echoes here a verse in Deuteronomy, verse 32, verse 13, where He says, and has this promise of for the people. He says, He made him, Israel, to ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields, and he made him to suck honey out of the rock, out of unexpected places, and oil out of the flinty rock. Now, what does it mean then here for us? Because we need to know what it means for us. It doesn't make sense for us when we say, okay, you ride on the hill, high places. This is a promise of victory. Riding on the high places, this word riding suggests that they were riding in chariots. It's the idea of victory over your enemies. That's what it means for us. God gives victory to His people. And how does He give victory to His people today? When we listen to His word, when we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we listen to what he cried out at the cross, it is finished. And that we see and taste again and the beauty and the power and of the fact that He rose from the dead victoriously. To defeat our enemies. And that He is now seated at the right hand of heaven itself. That's where we need to rest. Rest in me. Last Wednesday night, we thought about that. How Jesus Christ came to crush the head of Satan. He fought that battle for us. And he invites us to stand and listen to that promise. I will fight your battles. And every Lord's Day then is a day in which we focus on the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sins. Are here sinners today that need to be cleansed? Focus on the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. He can cleanse you entirely. And every Lord's Day, then it's a joy to focus on the fact that he wants to give us the power that we need to fight and kill our sins. He comes with that victory. So that Romans 8 can say, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And more than that, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Through his love, we conquer. His love shown in the cross, his love shown to us in the open grave, his love that we know that he's at the right hand of the Father, now praying for his people. That love empowers. That is like riding on the high places. So that our affections are drawn to heavenly places. So that we are enjoying the promised land, as it were. And Christ is already there. And our worship goes to the throne where he is, that promised land. And we say our citizenship with Philippians, we say our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here. We are pilgrims. We are pilgrims. And so we pray and we praise and we worship and we adore Jesus Christ and the victory that he has accomplished. And we look to the destiny. That land flowing of milk and honey, flowing with abundance. And that's the third thing that is promised here. When we read, I will cause you to ride on the high places of the earth, it follows with in 14c, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. What does that mean? Well, it means abundance. Fed like Jacob's inheritance. Well, what was Jacob's inheritance? Well, honey out of a rock, out of an impossible place. You remember children when they came back from spying the land, they had this huge grapevine. Plenty, abundance, foretastes of heaven. Thinking about our inheritance, that's where we are going. We are going to a better country where sin is done with. We are going to a better country where we will enjoy Jesus Christ day after day after day. How do we enjoy that? How do we enjoy that today? This you will be fed with Jacob's heritage. What does that mean for us today? Well, God comes to us and says, you are justified by faith. And so you will have peace with God. When you trust in me, that justifies you. The work that I do in you so that you believe in me, you will have peace. That's one of the fruits of that country. Peace with God. I sanctify you. I sanctify you. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I work in your life to rid you of sin. So that you learn to rest in me and submit to me and joyfully obey me. I sanctify you. I purify you. I've set you apart for a purpose. I want to give you assurance. That's another fruit of that country. That heavenly country. So that when you read the Word of God and when you hear the Word of God and when you listen to the Word of God, that you are more and more assured, and that's your security. You're secure when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to have you foretaste, give you foretaste of this inheritance in heaven so that you know you have a future, you have hope, you have something to look forward to. When life gets difficult, when life gets hard, and you look forward with hope, I have a better country to look forward to. And so you receive those foretastes of heaven when you talk to those whom you love, your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and you worship together and you have fellowship together and you grow in love and you grow in faith. Another fruit, love, faith. You will be fed like Jacob's heritage, all these beautiful fruits. And God says, no, I don't want you to doubt about this, that this is what I want for you. And that's why he says in 14d, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken this. Don't doubt this. This is what I want. The blessings are waiting. I will give you exquisite delight in me. I will give you spiritual victory over your enemies, your sins. I will make you to be fed with spiritual abundance, with a foretaste of heaven. You can look forward to heaven. I promise, I promise. So this promise has a condition to it. Now, we love unconditional promises where it says, well, you know, no involvement from me. But not all of God's promises are unconditional. He asks us specific actions to think about our lives in ways that are appropriate and according to his commandments and according to his word. And that's what we are going to look at after we sing. So secondly, let's consider the conditions for delight. The first one is in verse 13. So we back up to verse 13 and we read, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day. And it says here then that we are to turn away our foot from the Sabbath. What does that mean? That we turn away our foot from the Sabbath means that we shouldn't be making this Sabbath day all about me. Not about our own pleasure. We are to keep our feet from breaking the Sabbath or the Lord's Day. So that means that we are need to be on guard. We need to control our feet. Because our feet and our way stands for our lives. Our feet often follow where first our hearts have gone. So what is the focus of our heart this day? That's what it's all about. What is the focus of our heart? That's where you and I will spend our Lord's Day. And the most of the time of the Lord's Day. And the Lord says to us this morning, come, I want to give you blessings. I want to give you rest. I want you to focus on me. And how often do we say, well, I need to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. And we become busy on the Lord's Day. Busy in our minds. Busy in our hearts. The Lord says, focus on me. Meditate on those spiritual riches. That heavenly country. The promises of spiritual victory. Spiritual delight. And we say in our hearts often, we want to think about other things. We want to go other places. Maybe we even need to consider, some of us, where do our feet go? Where do we travel? Where are we traveling on the Lord's Day? Maybe you say, well, you know, yes, but it's not about rules, right? And we are quick to defend ourselves. We're quick to rationalize that away. Yes, but... But here's the question that the Lord wants to ask us. Because we can say, okay, this is not allowed, that's not allowed, rules and all that. But it's the wrong question when we start focusing. Is that not allowed? God wants to talk with us about pleasure. He wants to talk to us about pleasure. Greatest pleasure, himself. So the right question is to ask, is what I'm doing helping me to find pleasure in the Lord, or is it finding pleasure in my own things? That's the question. Is what I'm doing helping me to find pleasure in the Lord, or is it finding pleasure in my own things? And that's the question that we need to answer honestly ourselves, each one of us, before the Lord. And we need not forget the promise when we think about these things. I will give you delight. I will give you victory over sin. I will give you foretastes of heaven. Therefore, keep my Sabbath. That's the first thing. Turn your foot from the Sabbath. Second thing here is in verse 13 again, the second part, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable. He wants us to call the Sabbath a delight. He wants to call it, actually, that we call it three things. First of all, a delight. So that means it's a special day. It's a day of enjoyment. Young people, is it, we have got a Sunday again. When is done and over with? Is that how you look at the Sabbath? In the Bible, people were like that too. Amos 8, verse 5 says, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sow corn, and that the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat? Those people were thinking about their business, about making money. They were done with the Sabbath. When is it over? Please. I want to do my own thing. I want to do my business work. And I want to go back to school. I want to play. And the Lord says, no, come, rejoice. It's Sunday again. The Puritans call it the market day of the soul, where you were to buy. You had those markets in the past, a farmer's market, just a farmer's market. You can buy there, and you can go there, and you can say, okay, this is beautiful, this is good for me. And so that's how the Puritans wanted to see the day for the soul, that we come and gather those beautiful things. And Dr. Bickey always told us the story that he would come out of bed in the morning and he would wake up all the children and he would say to the children, one after another, this is the best day of the week. It's the Lord's day. And they would know. It's the Lord's day. That's a practical way of saying we call this Sabbath a delight. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. The second thing we need to call it is it's holy unto the Lord. It's set apart. Holy is the word of set apart. It's different from the rest of the week. Holiness unto the Lord. I was reading Zechariah this morning that there will be a day when even the bells and the pots will be holiness unto the Lord. In Zechariah 14 it says, well, that's the day when Jesus Christ reigns as king. It shows that normal things that are elevated to the holiness, we do them for the Lord God. We set this day apart for the Lord. So here's the question. Do our devices know that it is the Lord's day, that they receive some rest? That this is a day in which we delight in the Lord and dedicate it to the Lord. This day is holy to the Lord. It's set apart. And the third thing that God wants us to call this day is honorable. Now, this word means weighty, or heavy. Now, some might say, well, yeah, that's what I feel about the Lord's Day, burden. But that's not what it means, honorable. The word means it's to be treasured. It's to be important in our lives. And it comes from this word, glorious. that we call this day in our minds a delight set apart and honorable, something glorious. And the fact is always, when we do that in our mind and when we say that with our mouths, and our hearts will follow. That's how we are going to treat that day. And the way we treat this day is the way that the value we have for the Lord. How worthy is the Lord in my life, really? Is he Lord? Is he Lord? Is he Lord on the Lord's day? Is he glorious? Is he holy? Is he your delight? Well, the answer is, how do you treat your Lord's day? So we turn our foot from the Sabbath. We call the Sabbath a delight. Third thing the Lord says here in our text is honor the Sabbath in our actions. We are to honor the Sabbath in our actions. Verse 13c, it says there, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Again, we see here three things. Our own ways. I'm not going to elaborate on that a lot. It's just doing our own business, doing our work, the things we are supposed to do in the week. But God is asking us on this day, can I be your business? Our own pleasure, we know what that is. Seeking pleasure, recreation, play, fun. God says the Lord's day is for this, for me. Can I be your pleasure this day? Can I refresh you? Can I be your delight? Can I transform your pleasures and delights when they are completely off? In our own words. Of course, we need to talk, and we talk to one another, and we meet and greet to one another, and we have some small talk. But our own words, unnecessary talks, unnecessary subjects that we don't need to, we can, the whole week, you can talk about those things. All the rest of the week. And God says, can I have your words, please, on this day? He asked that to each one of us. And the big question behind that is, do we really want spiritual delight? Do we really want it? Do we really want spiritual victory over sin? Do we really want foretastes of heaven? Well, then we need to repent of that which is wrong in our lives, of our Sabbath desecration, and we need to change it. And we need to begin to keep the Sabbath in the way he wants us to keep it. And he will bless us. It's his promise. The word of the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Begin to keep the Sabbath in a way that honors and glorifies him. What about works permitted on the Lord's day? Someone says, well, we were allowed to work, right? Some works are allowed. Lord Jesus, didn't he speak about that? Yes, absolutely. Three things: mercy, necessity, and religion. Those are the things that the Lord Jesus talks about. And our chapters also speaks about some of those things. The first one, the works of mercies that the Lord allowed us, the Lord Jesus. Do you remember, children, when he spoke about, well, there's a sheep, especially in those countries, they had those sheep and they were walking, and one sheep strays and he falls into a pit. Do you leave that sheep in the pit? No, of course not. You go and take it out of the pit, the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 11. Now, how much more worth are the people than sheep and animal? So we are to allow to do works of mercy. Nurses and doctors, what would happen if they would just run away on the Sabbath day and say, well, we need to keep the Sabbath day? I need to care for the people, of course. And that's what Isaiah also speaks about, that we need to care for the needy. And when we care for the needy, that the Lord will make that a blessing to us too. And we are not to focus on religious rituals. We are to be merciful. We need to repent of our sins. Now there is something wrong probably if the Lord's Day is your favorite day to work as the nurse because there's some more money to make. Then there's something wrong. But that's the same thing for pastors, by the way. Same thing. This day is a special day when you desire to be with the Lord, when you desire to show mercy, when he then so leads you in ways. And then the second thing is necessities. Those of us who respond to, as first responders, to floods and fires and storms and illnesses and accidents, the Lord Jesus also made special provision for that on that day. Matthew 12, verse 3 and 4. David, what did he do in a time of need? He received the bread of the tabernacle. In a time that he was doing mission for the Lord, a time of need, he was not allowed to eat that tabernacle bread, but still, he received it, and it was not a sin, the Lord Jesus says. Necessity. Oh, you can say, well, I have a deadline on Monday morning. That's necessity for my work, for my paper, for my schoolwork. I need to be ready on Monday morning. No, you need to be better planner. The man who had no firewood in Numbers 15, verse 32, he needed to be a better planner too. He needed to plan ahead so that this day we can focus on the Lord. Works of necessity are allowed. Works of mercy are allowed. Works of religion are allowed. This is, if you children ask, Pastor, but you are working too. Yes, absolutely. The Lord Jesus said that we, the priests, are working in the temple and they don't sin. They don't break the Sabbath. When you want to bring the gospel on this day, when you want to work, do religious work, go ahead. Jesus said, my Father still works and so do I. Not to make a name for yourself, but to help people, truly help people. Speak about the good things of the Lord. God wants us to delight in Sabbath keeping. No, he wants us to delight in him. So that he can bless us with himself, with victory, with heavenly rest. And so he asks us, set this day apart for me. Set it apart for me. Turn from your own ways. Turn from your own pleasures. Turn from your own words. And when the Lord so leads you, do works of mercy. Do works of necessity. Do works of religion. For the right reasons. So as you can see here in this text, though it's Old Testament, it's not rigid rules in a legalistic sense, because it's all focused on, I want your heart, I want your worship, I want to be your joy. Nor is it self-indulgence. I'm free in Christ and can do whatever I want. Because those two ways don't make the Sabbath a real delight. And God comes to us this morning and he invites all of us, delight in me, find victory in me, repent and trust in me, delight, and I will give you heavenly rest. I will give you heavenly rest. And so that's our desire, I hope, each one of us this morning, that we say we want to be filled with such exquisite delights that carries us all the way to heaven with good hope through grace, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me close with this. It's the words of Andrew Bunar. He remembered what McChain's view was on the Sabbath, and I think it sums up the whole sermon. The Sabbath is a type of heaven. When a believer lays aside his pen or loom, in those days, those were the things that they used, or brushes. I mean, just the normal instruments that you do your work with. Lays aside his worldly cares, leaving them behind with him, his weekday clothes, and comes up to the house of God. He said, it's like the morning of the resurrection, the day when we shall come out of great tribulation into the presence of God and the Lamb. That's the first picture he uses. We lay aside all those worldly cares and we rise, as it were. We come in God's holy presence and we worship. That's one day perfect. The second thing he says, when the believer sits under the preached word and hears the voice of the shepherd leading and feeding his soul, it reminds him of the day when the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall feed him and lead him to living fountains of waters. You see, it's a picture of the day when Christ will be feeding his people and leading them and making us to drink of streams of living water. When he joins in the psalm of praise, it reminds him of the day when his hand shall strike the harp of God, where congregations never break up and Sabbaths have no end. When he retires and meets with God in secret in his closet, or like Isaac in some favorite spot near his dwelling, it reminds him of the day when he shall be a pillar in the house of our God and go out no more. This is the reason we love the Lord's Day. This is the reason we call the Sabbath a delight. A well-spent Sabbath, we feel, is a day of heaven on earth. For this reason, we wish our Sabbath to be wholly given to God. We love to spend the whole time in the public and private exercises of God's worship, except so much as it's taken up in works of necessity and mercy. And then he says this. We love to rise early on that morning and to sit up late, that we may have a long day with God. Congregation, I hope your heart just says, Lord, please make that true for me. Make that true for me. He comes with such rich promises. So let us keep the Sabbath. Let it be many, many Sabbaths that we are filled with true delight. If there's anything in your life that needs to change, then the Lord will be able to give you the grace to change it and to change you in the process. For Christ's sake, amen.